But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish, as they did. No, I think it was more like, but I tell you, if you do not repent, you will perish, as they did. I found a very interesting quote from one of the early church fathers in preparing for this weekend. Speaking about this gospel, St. Bede wrote, "The blood expresses sin, the sacrifices good actions. Pilate mingled the blood of the Galileans with their sacrifices. Whereas the devil stains the alms and other good works of the faithful either by carnal indulgence or by courting the praise of men or any other defilement. Our best efforts at doing good oftentimes fail because we do not keep our eyes fixed on God and His grace, or we spend our time looking for the approval of those around us. This, St. Bede tells us, is what Jesus was talking about at the very beginning of the gospel today. In that day, people thought that a disaster was a sign of sin. Jesus says that that good fortune or disaster are no indication of a person's spiritual state. But in the judgment to come, those who have been evil will certainly pay for it. Now is the time to live for the kingdom. We may have been barren in the fruitfulness of good works, but time has been given to us just as for the fig tree. But ultimately, the judgment will come. What fruit will we have from our lives to show to the King? All of us are sinners, meriting a much worse punishment than problems here on earth. We merit eternal punishment. But Christ has come to atone for our sins. He has opened the gates of heaven. We need to repent of our sins and live a life of grace and holiness. Otherwise, God will not free us from the punishment we deserve." Another quote, this one from St. Jose Maria Escrivá. "When you meet with suffering, the cross, your thought should be, what is this compared with what I deserve?" This is not some sense of Catholic guilt. This is our reality. It does not take much searching through our own souls to find things that we have done that we would love to be able to remove from history. That is our unfortunate human condition. All we can do is struggle to make up for the failures that we have committed. That oftentimes is not easy to accomplish. I am a little quote heavy this week, but here's another one from yet another saint, St. John Mary Vianney. "Ever since man sinned, all his senses rebel against reason. Therefore, if we want the flesh to be controlled by the Spirit and by reason, it must be mortified. If we do not want the body to be at war with the soul, it and all our senses need to be chastened. If we desire to go to God, the soul with all its faculties needs to be mortified." This is true for everyone. I love this saying because it points out how unreasonable sin is. To fight it, we have to rely first on the Holy Spirit and add to that our own ability to reason what is good and bad. There's a line in Scripture that says, "Come, let us reason together." God has given us the ability to reason through what is good and bad, and the Holy Spirit confirms that as we pray. On yet another point, God's mercy should not lead us to neglect our duties and become lazy and comfort-seeking, living sterile lives. We have to get into the mess of our own lives, even if it means making messy mistakes. He is merciful, but He is also just, and He will punish failure to respond to His grace. I have yet one more quote, this again from St. Jose Maria Escrivá. "There is one case that we should be especially sorry about, that of Christians who could do more and don't. Christians who could live all the consequences of their vocation as children of God, but refuse to do so through lack of generosity. The Christian life is a divine wonder, with immediate promises of satisfaction and serenity, but on condition that we know how to recognize the gift of God and be generous, not counting the cost." This is what ties together the entire gospel reading today. We are called to do great things for the kingdom of God. But the great things of the kingdom of God are things that will draw others to the same kingdom. Let me repeat that sentence. The great things of the kingdom of God are things that will draw others to the same kingdom. It is very hard to be completely consistent in this effort. Personal confession time. Earlier this week, I had to turn someone away because I considered what he was asking was something that was unsafe. He challenged me, saying that it was an unchristian way to act when I turned him away. But I was acting for the good of others who would have been potentially at risk. Sometimes you cannot act in a way that is perfectly Christian for everyone involved. This guy was looking for a place to stay in the cold, and he wanted to stay in the convent where there are single women who are teachers. Whose safety should I put first? Sometimes it is almost impossible to respond to the needs of others in a way that is doing the best for every individual. As the priest here, I had a responsibility to protect the teachers who are living at the convent. I did not see a way I could work around helping this guy as well. He refused to go to the Stevens Center down the street. Did I fail him? Did I protect the teachers? How will God see my response? Truthfully, the only one there that I have an answer for is the middle one. I will not know this side of heaven if I could have done better. But that is the way with every single one of these things that we are asked to do for Christ. We can only do the best as we see possible, and that is always a struggle. On a different point, I assume you have heard or seen the problems that we had in the media with the sign on the marquee this week. The responses have been from all sides. I believe there was a short-sightedness on the part of everyone involved. I do not believe there was any malice intended in the message, but there has been malice in some people's reactions on all sides. We have unfortunately had to clean up some vandalism that occurred. To anyone who has been scandalized or hurt by this throughout this past week, please accept our apologies and know that we are praying for all involved. And there is one last thing. I will be leaving these parishes this July. I will be the new pastor at St. Thomas More and St. Joan of Arc. The primary reason is because of my lack of Spanish skills. I've been praying about this for at least a year. While I can read Spanish well, I cannot think in Spanish. So when the people come to speak to me, I cannot understand them. They deserve better than that in all of the parishes. So I will be moving, and the Archbishop has given me these two parishes. Thank you for my time here, but I am not leaving just yet. The move happens in July. Again, thank you.